Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, the subject before us in Romans chapter 5 is the certainty of salvation. How can we be sure of eternal life? And the answer in verse 9 is based upon justification, and the reasoning is very simple, and it is this: if you have been justified, you shall be saved in the day of God's wrath. That's what Romans 5:9 is saying. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But Paul goes on to give us a second answer in verse 10, and that answer is based upon reconciliation. And it is similar, but different enough that we need to look at it and learn the truths that are here and enjoy the encouragement that this thought, this declaration from God brings to us. And so we read in Romans 5:10, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Now you'll notice immediately some similarities between that and verse 9. Verse 9 had a past and a future. The past was justification, and that guarantees the future of salvation in the day of God's wrath. And the reasoning is, if you have been justified, you can be certain that you will be saved in the day of God's wrath. Now, verse 10 has a similar pattern, but the past here is reconciliation rather than justification, but the reasoning is the same. If you have been reconciled to God, you can be certain, you can be sure that you will be saved in the days to come. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. However, there are a couple of nuances in verse 10 that we don't find in verse 9, and they are a great blessing to understand. As we saw in the broadcast yesterday, all of us were enemies of God at one time or another. All of us, no exceptions. Not if you were enemies, but when you were enemies. And let me stop and ask you, dear friend, when did you stop being God's enemy? I put it that way because some of you will say, "I never have been," and you are wrong. And if you think that, then probably you still are. You are probably living in deception. You are under a delusion. You don't think of yourself as being an enemy with God, but we're not talking about the way you feel. We're talking about facts. All of us started out as enemies of God, and it is only the reconciling work of Jesus Christ that changes that condition. So I'm not asking you when you felt like you were an enemy with God or an enemy of God. I'm asking you, when did you stop being God's enemy? And if you don't know, or if you have the sense that you never have been God's enemy, then you probably still are, and you better listen very carefully to what I am saying. So back to verse 10. For if when we were enemies, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Now there's an amazing alteration. When we were enemies, we were reconciled. So number one, that tells us that it is possible for those who were enemies of God to have a total change in their relationship with God. An amazing alteration. We were enemies, but we were reconciled. Both of these things in the past. Now, obviously, if a person is now an enemy, then reconciliation is yet future for him. And if he never comes to the place of reconciliation, then he will go out into eternity still the enemy of God and under the wrath of God, and therefore will experience God's full judgment in the day of God's final judgment. But if you are reconciled, and notice what this says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And so it takes the death of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to reconcile a sinner to God. And I hope you understand the gospel, namely, and we've talked about it a great deal, so I don't really want to spend a lot of time on it here, but Christ's death paid the sinner's debt. Christ's death made it possible for the sinner to be reconciled to God. Maybe I should put it this way. Christ's death accomplished reconciliation for the believing sinner. Christ's death accomplished reconciliation for all who trust in Jesus Christ. Because what is it that makes us enemies with God? It is our sin. It is our rebellion. That's what separates us from God. That's what makes it impossible for us to be united with God, reconciled with God, friends with God, on proper terms with God. It is our sin. The sin issue must be dealt with. And as long as that sin has not been dealt with in the only way that it can be, namely in the person and work of God's own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only sinless one, the only perfect one, the only infinite one. If Jesus Christ were merely a man, even a perfect man, there is no such thing as a perfect man, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, except, of course, Jesus Christ, who is the God-man. But if Jesus Christ were only a man and not the God-man, then his life would be worth exactly one other life. And if an exchange could be made, it could only be made for one other sinner. One perfectly righteous man can exchange his righteousness and take the penalty for one sinner, period. But you see, because he is the God-man, the infinite one, as well as one who took upon him human flesh, the form of finite human flesh, but he is the infinite one, then his life is of infinite value, and his righteousness, therefore, is of infinite value and can be imputed to the account of all the sinners who will believe on him, however many there may be, millions upon millions upon millions of them. And his death can pay the penalty for all the sins of all those who will trust in him, however many there may be, millions and millions of them, because of the worth of his life, of who he is. And so it takes the blood of Jesus Christ, his death upon the cross, to satisfy our sin debt and reconcile us to God. And when God views us through the person of his Son, then he sees us as righteous, like his Son, and that way we can be reconciled to him. We can come into his presence. So again, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And the argument is similar to the one in verse 9. If we have been justified, verse 9, we know we shall be saved in the day of God's wrath. Now, verse 10, if we have been reconciled, then we shall be saved by his life. But now there are a couple of nuances here we still need to explore. Because Paul is saying more in verse 10 than he said in verse 9. Because he is also saying this. If God was willing to give us his Son when we were enemies, how is he going to view us now that we are his children? Do you think he'll do less for his children than he would do for his enemies? Do you get the reasoning here? In what condition were we when God gave his Son to die for us? We were enemies. Well, if God was willing to do that for enemies, What will he be willing to do for his friends? What will he be willing to do for his children? What will he be willing to do for those who are reconciled to him? Surely no less. Likely a great deal more, but surely no less. I don't know what more he can do than to give us his son, but surely no less. So if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the first nuance is to realize that if God was willing to give his son on behalf of enemies, he will surely give whatever is needed on behalf of his children. Consequently, no child of God could ever be lost. Do you see the reasoning? No true child of God can ever be lost. Verse 9, if you have been justified, you shall be saved. Verse 10, if you have been reconciled, you shall be saved. Do you understand the reasoning? But you say, what if I sin? If God gave you his son when you were his enemy, and you were his enemy because of sin, don't you think he'll do whatever is necessary to keep you safe and secure now that you are his child? You see, this idea that we can become children of God and then lose our salvation, we can become justified and then not be saved in the day of God's wrath, we can become reconciled and then not be saved in the day of final salvation. In other words, we can become justified and become unjustified. We can become reconciled and become unreconciled. We can become regenerated and become unregenerated. I mean, that's what some people think. That's what some people teach. That's what some people erroneously believe that the Bible is saying. But I want to encourage you, dear friend, to realize that cannot be right. Whatever verses in the Bible look like they're saying that cannot be properly understood that way. There's something that you are missing, something that you are not understanding, something about that verse, something about that context, which is not being fully considered to draw you to that erroneous conclusion, because there are so many texts, like these before us right now, that make it clear that it is impossible for any true child of God to ever be lost. We're talking about the certainty of salvation, how you can be sure of eternal salvation. And if you have been justified, verse 9, you shall be saved. You could never be lost. If you have been reconciled, God gave you his son to reconcile you when you were his enemy, so surely he's going to do whatever he needs to now that you are his friend, now that you are his child, now that you are no longer his enemy. He'll do whatever needs to be done to bring you safely home to heaven. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, there's still one more nuance in that we'll have to take up on the broadcast tomorrow. So I invite you to join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, saying, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.